Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. Good morning, everybody. This is Foundation session number two. This is Enabling Enterprise Mobility with People-Centric IT. My name is Andrew Conway. I'm a Senior Director of Product Marketing at Microsoft. I'm going to be joined here today by two technical product managers, Martin Booth and Adam Hall. We have you for the next 60 minutes. And so the goal here is really to give you a brief overview of what's coming on the People-Centric IT track at TechEd. We have 36 sessions that will deep dive into product and services. We have 25 hands-on labs, 20 instructor-led labs. And so the way that we're set up today is just to give you some context for our People-Centric IT solution and conversation here at Microsoft. And we'll also do a heavy demo in this session to give you some just quick looks, some tastes of the product, hopefully to whet your appetite for the rest of the week here at TechEd. So with that, I do want to spend a little bit of time on mobility. You guys are living this every single day, both in the context of your personal and work life as just people, end users, but also as IT professionals in the industry. I wanted to share some recent data that we've pulled in. First of all, around the number of devices that information workers are using now to get work done. I was actually surprised when I saw this study as to how small that number is. I'm guessing that many of you in this room are probably carrying three different devices that you're using for work already. You likely have a laptop, a tablet of some sort, and your smartphone. But what all of this means for IT, as you guys well know, is that many, many organizations now, most organizations, in fact, come 2017, will be managing two or more mobile operating systems. And so the map for end-user computing, the map for delivering applications and data to your people has shifted dramatically. Gone are the days when you can assume that one person is using one device, and that device is wired to the wall, and they come in, start using it at 9, and they leave it at 6. And so we're in this new world, and we see a lot of this reflected back from our customers, partners, from you here this week at TechEd, and this is what we will spend time on. I did want to add, though, that this isn't just about devices. Obviously, bring your own device, or so-called BYOD, has a huge amount, there's a huge amount of noise in the media and articles in the media, in social media around this. But it's more than that. It's also about this idea of so-called bring your own cloud. The fact that when we talk to customers, some of them will say, well, we haven't moved our applications to the cloud yet, and so we don't need this sort of capability. And so we say, well, newsflash, your employees have already gone to the cloud. Some 80% of employees are already admitting to using non-approved SaaS applications. So they're bringing in applications, they're bringing in personal data storage services, whatever it is, and they're using those from these devices. So that's just a quick tour of the landscape. How do we think about what we're trying to enable here? Well, it's very simple, but I think you guys out there know that sometimes when things are super simple like this, or the request needs to be simple, the actual delivery can be complicated. And so you may have to be sort of furiously paddling in the background to actually make these things work or to actually deliver on something that seems like a fairly simple request. And I think in IT as well, we know that it goes beyond just enabling access to applications and data on devices, the devices that your people, your end users love. It's really about the second piece that's really the kicker. If you work in IT, then you have this responsibility in your organization of making sure that corporate data, corporate assets, whatever it is, depending on what business and industry that you're in, remains protected. And this can become more of a thorny challenge as data finds its way across an increasing map of different device types, different form factors, et cetera. And what we'll talk about a lot today as we get into the solutions that we have and also into the demonstrations is how we're thinking about the new capabilities that we're bringing from Microsoft, oftentimes now from the cloud, in this cloud-first, mobile-first world that actually help you do this more effectively. So the challenges have changed, the solutions are changing, but we believe these solutions will allow you to confidently meet this challenge. So let's go to the next level of detail. It really does start with people. It really does start with that individual. We made a huge commitment to this new direction a couple of years ago when we shipped System Center Configuration Manager 2012. Many of you may have been at the MMS show that year as we rolled out Configuration Manager in April 2012. And that was a big shift for us. We went from having a device-centric view to having a user-centric view at the core of our landmark PC management solution. Configuration Manager is used by 70% of enterprises today for PC management. And we took it through this shift where now we are centered on that person, and we added application management capabilities. So it's about delivering apps and data to the person, not to the device. Clearly, as the number of devices proliferates, as the half-life of a device shortens, and people churn through personal devices more rapidly, the idea of managing at the level of a device doesn't really work anymore. And so we've really centered this on the user, on the person themselves, hence people-centric IT. As we talk to customers, many of them are still in this phase of getting visibility into what devices they have in the environment, how they're going to inventory them, what requirements are they going to have of the device for a governance policy, if you will, around using bring your own devices. So does the device need to be encrypted? Will I enforce a four-digit PIN? What restrictions will I put around access to applications, et cetera? Now, as you move on to applications, it gets more complicated. As Brad noted in the keynote today, oftentimes this begins with email. You'd be amazed what you can find in people's email. I know customers who spend an inordinate amount of time protecting, say, financial systems, and sometimes there's not the full appreciation that all it takes is someone to cut and paste some information into an email, and you can get into someone's email box and see quite a lot about what's going on with that company. And so we've put a lot of focus in protecting email. In the most recent releases of our Intune service, which is our cloud-based MDM service, we have support for email profile management, for instance, so that as you lay down email on that device, corporate email on the device, you can manage it. And when that device is unenrolled, or when that device is returned to fully a personal use versus a business use, that email can be selectively wiped away along with the other corporate applications. And those corporate applications contain data. We are investing very, very heavily in technologies that also protect at the level of the data itself. And so if you think of the last three areas here of devices, apps, data, you can almost think of these as concentric circles of protection. There are certain things that you can do on the device today to protect, but frankly, the frontier really for protecting it is now oftentimes at the layer of that application, how you manage application access. And I hope that you saw some of that through the keynote today as we looked at things like managing access to SaaS applications, et cetera. And then we are also protecting at the level of the data itself with technologies like selective wipe in Intune, and also our investment in taking rights management to the cloud now with Azure Rights Management Services and the ability to bring your own key to the Azure data centers if you wish. So let's drive into the next level of detail now on our solution across empowering people-centric IT. It's really in four parts that I will go through stepwise. And you'll see now some of the breadth that Brad talked about earlier on the keynote stage in terms of how we're thinking about this. The feedback that we've taken from customers and partners like you in terms of making sure that we have the most comprehensive solution in the industry to really address people-centric IT and the bring your own device and bring your own cloud challenges. We have mobile device management, mobile application management in Intune, which is our cloud-delivered MDM service. As you noted today, we are planning for the future. You saw a sneak peek of this in Julia White's demo, but we're working very closely with the Office 365 team to take the concept of app wrappering for iOS and Android and bring that to Office mobile apps. I talk to customers, and their employees generally don't want to use a whole set of home-cooked collaboration apps for things like email, you know, writing documents, reading documents, or whatever it is. Office is very much the gold standard of productivity, and now that that's been extended with Office for iPad and Office mobile apps more broadly. We're making a huge investment in bringing together our Intune cloud-based MDM solution and bringing that MDM and then mobile app management together with Office to drive managed productivity. So that gives you in IT the ability to keep the company protected while you're enabling users to do that work on the devices they love. You will have the policy and you have the control elements that will be surfaced through the Intune cloud service. Desktop virtualization as well. You saw the announcement today of Azure Remote App. Through Windows Server 2012 and then through the R2 release last October, we've brought increasing capabilities to our desktop virtualization solutions, both for desktops, but also for session host and for remote app. That's very much a big investment area for us. As you saw today, we're bringing that out in preview on the Azure cloud. So we view desktop virtualization and remote app and session host as all technologies that are core to delivering applications to devices. In some cases, you just want to keep that Windows application running on a server, and now we give you the option to do that in the Azure cloud also. But there are a couple of extra pieces here which are different than many other vendors in the industry, and something that customers have really driven home hard for us is the fact that all of this is underpinned by Directory, Azure Active Directory, and Active Directory. Active Directory remains the authoritative source of corporate identity. All of you are using that in your businesses today. Some 90% of businesses, some 90% plus of businesses use Active Directory. And so we've extended this to the Azure cloud with Azure AD. That's the internet cloud scale directory that underpins all of the first party cloud services from Microsoft. So Intune runs on that, Dynamics runs on that, Office 365, of course, runs on that. And so Azure AD can become your identity hub in the cloud, a new control plane for IT. So while the challenge of managing access to applications may have gotten more difficult with a plethora now of SaaS applications, we're bringing the capability to manage at that level of the directory in the cloud. And on top of that, we've delivered a set of identity and access management tools as well as part of the Azure AD premium offering. So that's something that's out there today, gives you capabilities for things like user self-service password reset, group management, security reporting, as Adam Hall showed in his keynote demo earlier. So it gives you visibility into what's going on and a way to control access. And then finally, building on that, the access and information protection investments that we've made, both in the core server platform on premises with Windows Server, with things like dynamic access control, file classification, so that you can protect files that live on your servers and automatically control access based on the content of those documents. And then, as I noted earlier, our investments in rights management and taking rights management along with bring your own key capabilities to the Azure cloud. So with that, I'd actually like to get into the technology and start to give you a taste for what's coming. I'm going to bring up Adam Hall, who's one of the technical product marketers on the team. And we're going to take you through now a series of demos. We'll start with the idea of getting onboarded or getting started with the cloud. So we'll spend some time on getting connected up to Azure Active Directory. We'll spend some time on information protection and then also how you manage application access.
On now. Hey, there we go. All right. So I'm going to go through three demo vignettes. The first one I'm going to talk about. I think my microphone's a bit dodgy. I'm going to start with cloud onboarding. And what we're going to talk about is how we're going to make it easier for you to connect on premises up to the cloud. For those of you in the audience who have done things like DirSync and ADFS and Federation in the past, you'll know that it's a multi-step process, and it can be a lot of work to make that happen, particularly if you have a complex environment. So I'm going to show you a new tool that we have, the Azure AD Connect tool. This is a new tool that's going to be shipping in preview in the next few weeks, and this is going to make it easy for you to connect on premises up to the cloud. This is a tool that's going to take you through the process in a wizard-driven format to connect your Active Directory to Azure Active Directory, deploy the appropriate synchronization technology for the identity, and deploy ADFS if you want to go with the non-password hash sync option with Federation. So this is Wizard. I accept the agreement. First thing it's going to do is check the local server and find out, are there any prerequisites that I require? And there are a few. We'll go through, check that those are installed. Now, I'm going to connect to my Azure AD tenant. And one moment, my paste appears to have died. Make sure I get the right password. I will copy that in. You never saw that. All right. And I will log on to Azure Active Directory and authenticate against my tenant. Now, there's two routes that you can go with the wizard. If you go the express route, it will simply deploy DirSync, synchronize your passwords using password hash sync, and you're done. You're now connected to the cloud. If you have a complex environment, like multi-forest, or you do not want to synchronize passwords and you want to do identity federation instead, we'll go the customized route, which is where we're going to go today. I have multiple forests in my environment, so I will select that. And then it discovers my forests and asks me which ones I want to add in to this process. I'm going to add in Contoso. .com. And I also have a contoso.co.uk that I will add in. So now the wizard now knows about the forest that I have that I want to bring together and synchronize to Azure AD. I have the option around which attributes I want to use and configure as the primary. And for those of you that are running Exchange and Office 365 in hybrid mode, i.e. Exchange servers on-premise and mailboxes out in O365, we make it easy to do a hybrid Exchange deployment as well and synchronize back the required attributes. In this case, we are going to do an ADFS deployment because we are not going to synchronize our passwords and we are going to do identity federation. That's what I showed in the keynote this morning. So we're going to add a server to deploy ADFS and configure all of the relying parties and put them in place for me. That requires me to put a certificate in place, which I have a password for. And then it's going to ask me which domain I want to federate with so that I can connect to Azure AD. That is it. At that point in time, the only other choice I have to make is how I want to expose this to the external network. I'm going to deploy the web application proxy, which contains the ADFS proxy, and that's it. In a wizard-driven format, I have been asked all of the relevant questions that I need to answer in order to connect my Active Directory to Azure Active Directory. The tool will now deploy either DirSync or the new Azure AD Sync and or ADFS and configure all the relying parties. At that point in time, you are connected to the cloud, deployed in a best practice state, and ready to go. Now, once you get connected to the cloud, you've got some decisions to make. There are two things when you do identity federation that I get asked all the time, and I wanted to show you how easy it is to do both of them. The first one is, I want to enforce device authentication as part of my users getting access to applications. The second one is I want to enforce a multi-factor authentication challenge under certain scenarios. So I'm going to show you how easy it is to do those two things in ADFS. The first one I'm going to do is configure an application that is going to require device authentication. I'm going to choose Office 365. This is a common one that I get all the time. I want my users, whenever they log on to Office 365, to be using a registered device, otherwise known as Workplace Join. If you're not on a registered device, you don't get access. I'm going to create what's called an issuance authorization rule, and this is wizard-driven as well. I simply need to add a claim. I'm going to call this require device reg. And you'll note that the one that you need to turn on is called is registered user. That is the workplace join device registration claim that you need to set in ADFS to enforce it. That is it. And I will choose is registered user. And you have two values to this, true and false. True means it must be enforced. False means you don't care. Don't know why you'd ever set false. And that's it. At this point in time, any authentication now that my users have to Office 365, it will check if they are workplace joined. If they are not, they will get an error message and say, access denied, please register your device first. Now, the second thing I want to show you how to do in ADFS is how to configure multi-factor authentication. With Server 2012 R2 in ADFS, we brought in the capability to apply multi-factor authentication providers from within ADFS. You can do this on either a user or a group level. Now, Martin's going to come up and do the next set of demos on some devices, and he's going to be trying to access the SharePoint site that we've published out from on-premises. I'm going to configure his account to need to do a multi-factor authentication as part of his authentication into SharePoint, and you'll see what that looks like. That is it. With those few clicks, I now have all users requiring multi-factor authentication, multi-factor authentication to SharePoint, and all users to have a workplace joined device to get to Office 365. Now, the third vignette that I want to show you is we took a very quick peek at Azure Remote App in the keynote. And I want to show you how we deployed that Azure Remote App environment in our setup. So I'm here in the Azure console, and I'm under Remote App. You can apply to be part of the preview now. If you go into New, choose Remote App, at this point in time, when you're part of the preview, you can deploy as I'm about to. If you are not already in the preview, there will be a link here that you can enter your details and apply to be part of the preview. So if your company is wanting to trial this, proof of concept it, look at running applications on server, in the cloud, on Azure, please join the preview. To deploy Azure Remote App, I'm going to do a quick create, and we'll call this Teched Foundation. I can choose, it's probably too long. Here we go. I will choose the west coast of the US, which is the closest data center to where we are, and you can see that it's going to deploy a template that already has Office embedded in it. I will click the create button, and now if I go back, you will see in this line here that Azure Remote App is now deploying. This takes a few minutes. It will deploy out. We should see this towards the end of the session in the last demo being pretty much complete. That allows you to then provide your users with access. And I'm going to show you how to configure all of that when I come up at the end of the demo. So I'm going to hand back to Andrew at this point in time. And I will see you again in a moment.
Great. Thanks, Adam. And so there you saw some of the capabilities for us to just easily get onboarded.
When there's no mic.
Guys, can we get the audio back, please?
Are we back on? All right, thank you. So there you saw some of the capabilities for us to get easily onboarded, get you easily onboarded onto the cloud, connecting up to directory, as well as taking advantage of some of the access control capabilities there against ADFS. So Adam also showed Azure Remote App Preview. I wanted to give a quick recap of this because I know there's been some questions already coming up around it. What we're doing here is we're basically taking the capabilities of remote desktop session host, and in particular remote app, running that on the Azure cloud. And so as you think about the advantages there of using this service, first of all, your users are able to get access to Windows applications across a variety of different devices using our remote desktop protocol clients. The service is built such that it scales up and down on the Azure cloud. And so you don't have to think about things like scaling up or scaling down a gateway or a broker. You're essentially putting a collection of applications up there or using one of the pre-built collections, as Adam Hall just did, and then publishing that, and then your users can get access. So that scales up and down. Also, you get all of the benefits that you traditionally see with remote desktop services around containering those apps and data in the data center, and so you're able to centralize and protect corporate applications. So you saw the onboarding from an IT pro perspective. What I'd like to do now is actually switch gears a little bit, and this is an area where we continue to get questions, but I want to have Martin Booth come up, and show you some of the cross-platform experiences that we're enabling across different device types, not just Windows and Windows Phone, but also Android and iOS. Thanks, Martin.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. So as you heard this morning in the keynote, enabling users to work on the devices they love is one of the key tenets we have around enterprise mobility. So I want to go through a few devices and show you some of the scenarios from the end user's perspective about what their experience is. When you, as IT pros, enable it for your enterprise, what does it actually look like for the end users? So the first device I'm going to switch across to now is my nice, trusty Android tablet that I have here. This is a personal device that I've got, but I've chosen to enroll this in my corporate network. I downloaded the Windows Intune Company Portal application from the Google Play Store, and if I go and launch that, first time you launch it, it'll ask you to add the device to the corporate network, which is where you would do the device enrollment. I've already got this enrolled, so it's taken me straight to sign in with my corporate credentials. So if I go and type in my email address here, and then hopefully my password is in the clipboard. I'm now signing in using ADFS. That's my corporate email address, my corporate password. ADFS is taking care of the authentication and will then pass us off to Windows Intune for the content to come down to the device. So as a user, I get a portal I can go to where I can find the applications that I want. I can look at the devices I have enrolled. I can also get access to other services from IT. So here on the homepage of the company portal, you can see some of the featured apps that IT have made available for me. And we have things like a link to the Contoso SharePoint site, my company's SharePoint site that we've actually exposed through the extranet. And I can go and just add a link to that to my device. We also have applications that have been written by my company and deployed out. If I go into all applications, we can see it's not actually there. That one's not deployed at the moment. We also have links through to applications that are in the public store. So if my company uses something like the remote desktop client, IT can advertise that to me. I get it appear in my company portal here. If I go and tap on viewing Google Play, it'll take me directly to that application within the Google Play store. So as an end user, I get very quick access to the applications that IT want me to use, even though they're in the public store. If I go back to my company portal, we can see the devices that I've got enrolled here. I've got a couple of tablets and some Windows phones. If I've lost my Windows phone, it's got my corporate data on it, I want to make sure that's protected, I can actually go into my device, and we've got options in the top right to wipe the device. So I can do a full factory reset on my Windows phone directly from the portal. I don't have to call help desk or get any assistance to do that. I can quite happily do that myself. One of the other capabilities I have here is the ability to do a selective wipe. So if I've chosen to not use that device for work purposes anymore, from this portal I can go and remove the corporate management from the device. That'll also remove the corporate applications and data as well. So a great level of self-service for devices if you're repurposing them or if you've lost it, left it in the back of the taxi. Of course, those capabilities are available to the IT pro through the admin console, but we really want to empower the end users here. And then finally, we've got some information here about IT, so if I really get stuck, I can come here and I get links to IT's website, the email process, or even the phone number. So a very simple experience for self-service to get the applications I want, whether they're web links, line of business apps, or native applications for the device, and applications in the store, and also that self-service element. I'm going to switch over now to another device I have here. And yes, I've got an iPad up on the table this time. Again, this iPad is enrolled in Windows Intune, so I've got a company portal experience on here. Let me start that up. Again, it's going to ask me to authenticate. And enter my password. And you'll see we get a very similar experience with the iPad. We look to provide the same kind of functionality to the users, so I can see my devices here, and I can get access to go in and wipe or selectively wipe or reset them if I choose. I get access to things like the deep links to applications in the iTunes store and access to web links as well. So if users are moving between devices, we know a lot of people go for the latest tablet, they might change between iOS, Android, Windows devices. We try to give a consistent experience, but still aligning with the look and feel and the design guidelines of the actual platforms here. One other thing I wanted to show you on the iPad in terms of the device management, if I go into settings, And under General, down the bottom, we have hidden away this Profiles option. This is actually kind of looking under the hood at what we're doing with the device with Windows Intune. And you can see here that we've got a number of profiles that have been deployed to the device. So things like the management profile with the initial management provisioning that we have. We also have things like an email profile that's been pushed down to the device. So this device is set up with my Contoso email. If I selectively wipe it, that profile will be removed, and that mailbox will be removed from the mail client as well. So that was kind of the company portal Intune experience. We have it hooked up to Configuration Manager, and I'll show you some of that in the third demo segment when we get to that. I also wanted to show you what the SaaS application experience looks like for the users. So I'm going to log into here to my My Apps portal. It's going to redirect me to my ADFS sign-in page. And I'll drop the password in there. And this brings up a list of the software as a service applications that have been provisioned to me via Azure AD Premium. So you can see some of the apps here. We have obvious things like Office 365, but also other applications. Adam mentioned that the number of partners we have in Azure AD Premium is huge. The number of applications up to something like 1,300 now. I've just got a handful that have been provisioned to me as a user here. One of the key things I have here is that when I click through to the applications, it could take my corporate credentials and do single sign-on between the applications and take me through them without me having to log on to others. Or it could be something like the Twitter app that we have here, where there could be a corporate sign-in to the corporate Twitter account. IT might not want to give me those credentials in case I leave the company and walk off with them. They can pre-configure those in Azure AD Premium. So when I launch Twitter from here, it'll take me straight to that corporately managed Twitter account. No need to give the end users actually access to the password for those accounts. Another capability we have in this portal is the ability to go in and do things like changing password or asking for a password reset. That can be done all directly from here. And we also have the ability, if it's enabled in the environment, to do group management. So you can see the groups that you're a member of or groups that you own and approve or deny requests for people to join those groups. Adam will touch on that from the IT Pro side in the third segment as well. Then Adam mentioned the SharePoint access. So we've seen kind of the company portal and access to apps provided by that. We've seen the SaaS application access. What about my web applications? I'm going to pull up our SharePoint site here. And it's there we go. It's redirecting to ADFS. It's going to ask me to log in again. You're all getting to see my demo email address lots of times today. But not the password. There we go. So I'll sign into this, and of course, it will take me straight through to my corporate SharePoint site because I've got access to that as a user. Ah, yeah, of course. Adam turned on multi-factor auth for my account, didn't he? So my device here has said, hey, we're going to need to verify your identity a bit more firmly, so we're going to place a call to your phone. So if I can have the volume up on the phone, I'll hit continue. And this will go through. The multi-factor authentication service will place a call back to my cell phone asking me to authenticate. Now, there we go. The call's coming in. Let me answer that.
Thank you for using Microsoft's sign-in verification system. Please press the pound key to finish your verification. If you did not initiate this verification, someone may be trying to access your account. Please press...
There we go. So I hit
you
the pound key.
You have been signed in. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye. There we go. I hit the pound key, and automatically my device has received that authentication and is transferring straight through to the SharePoint site without me actually touching the tablet itself. I did just hit the pound key. Of course, you could set up multi-factor auth to do something like require a one-time password or a PIN code or something of that nature if you require that. So my SharePoint site's not going to load. It is there, really. Come on. I should have kept it warm. Okay. It is going through anyway. So you've seen kind of the access to the web apps. You've seen multi-factor auth. Of course, the SaaS apps and the company portal. The final thing I want to show you, and I couldn't really leave the end user segment without touching on this today, is the remote desktop client. So I've got the remote desktop client for iOS here. And let me turn my tablet around so I can see it properly. There we go. So here we can see the remote resources that I've got configured. We have a server in our Contoso demo environment that's running these applications. So if I go and hit calculator, it's going to connect me to that server and pull up the Windows application directly on my iPad, which is a great experience for getting to those essential Windows applications, like calculator, but still from the iPad. And of course, I can go and switch between apps. I've got a nice menu here if I want to go and launch others. And there's various other capabilities I have. But what about that wonderful thing that was mentioned this morning, the Azure Remote app? Well, as an end user, I don't really see much difference. All I see is I've got another set of work resources here. So these resources down here, it says Microsoft Remote app. If I go and launch Visio here, it's going to connect to Azure Remote app. And that's going to bring up my application, but it's not running on the server in our environment. It's running up on the Azure platform. So here I have the fully featured Visio application. I can quite happily go around in this and edit my drawing, get access to all the rich features I need of Visio, which is great because we don't have a native Visio app for iPad, but it's running in the cloud. IT didn't have to deploy anything to support that on-premise. There's very simple configuration that Adam took you through to actually get it up and running, and great value for me as an end user there. So that was kind of the iPad experience we had there. And looking very much at the BYOD kind of, I've got a device and I want to get access to some corporate resources. But we do appreciate that there are some scenarios where devices are owned by the company and you might want to do a deeper lockdown, or it could be a task worker device where you need the device to be a little more secured. So I want to switch over to another device and show you some more capabilities we have with Windows Phone. So let me jump back to the PC. And I'll bring up my Windows Phone device. I have this nice little app, I don't know if you guys have seen it, called Project My Screen for Windows Phone, which is absolutely awesome for doing demos and things, and great for recording things like self-help videos for users as well. Now, my device here, it's got a PIN policy on it, so you're all going to see my super secret demo PIN. And first thing you'll notice about this device, the Internet Explorer icon, top right, it's disabled. I've got a policy that's been applied to this device by Windows Intune that actually blocks that. If I try and launch it, it tells me I can't get access to it. If I swipe across into programs, we can see it's there, but it's still disabled. I have some other policies down on this device as well that lock down some of the other functionality. So if I go down and look at something like Bluetooth, I don't have the ability to turn it on. And similarly, NFC is disabled by company policy. So the user gets great feedback that, hey, this capability is there, but it's not enabled because of company policy. And the device is now locked down so that data is not going to escape off in various channels that I might not want it to. Another area that we've brought with Windows Phone 8.1 is the ability to control what can come down from the application store. Now, we could just turn off the App Store and say, hey, we're not going to give you access to the App Store. But some places you actually do want to get access and get the useful apps that are there. So we have a set of policies that we've got in Windows Phone that we can configure using Intune and Configuration Manager that allow me to control what can be downloaded from the App Store. Now, we can set an allow list or a deny list. So we could allow certain apps or block certain apps, or we could do it by publisher. I actually have a deny policy set up. So I'm going to go and search for an application in the store. That essential application, My Rubber Duck. So we'll go and search that. And it didn't find it. Let's try that one again. All right. Something must be up with that app. Luckily, I have a backup. We'll go and try Wordament. So we can see Wordament, the game here. When I go and try and install that on my device, I get a message immediately saying, that's not available. If I tap for more information, again, you get the feedback that it's been disabled by company policy. So a very quick and easy way for IT to say, hey, you can have a device, you can install whatever apps on it, but not these apps. Or it could be the allow list scenario where you say, hey, you can get access to the store, but only for this set of apps. So a great way that we can lock down and manage Windows Phone devices. OK, I'll hand back to Andrew for the rest of the presentation.
Perfect. Thanks, Martin. So there, I hope you got a sense for all of the end user experiences that we're bringing across devices, not just Windows devices, but there you saw Android. and the Windows Intune company portal. You saw iOS, you saw our remote desktop client across all different device types, and also then a more locked down, what we would call a corporate-owned device scenario on phone. So very different than a BYOD scenario, probably a scenario where you're asked to bulk enroll devices, and then you're heavily locking down a device, maybe as a point-of-sale device or for a task worker scenario. So we've covered the setup and getting connected to these cloud services as an IT pro. We've covered the end user experiences that are being bought. What I want to do now is actually have the Martin and Adam come back and actually talk about how you would run this day-to-day in your existing environment. So we'll go through and look at mobile device management. We'll drill into how that's connected, if you wish, to your existing configuration management deployment for configuration manager deployment for managing PCs. We'll look at hybrid identity and, again, at information protection. Thanks.
Okay. So I'll drill straight into the mobile device side of things and pull up my console. Good to get the configuration manager console on the screen there. A lot of the capabilities we've talked about around Intune and device management, we delivered in 2012 SP1 for Configuration Manager. We enhanced that greatly with R2. And since then, there have been a couple of additional releases. We have this concept we call the extensions for Windows Intune. So if I go across into my administration node under Cloud Services, we have these extensions now that are available. So if I go and zoom in a bit, you can see the email profiles extension and the iOS settings extension. They were released in January and are available now. The Windows Phone 8.1 extensions are currently rolling out. Some of our Intune tenants have them. Some will get them in the coming weeks. But that's the extension that brings the new Windows Phone 8.1 policy support. To see where that shows up in the console, if I go back to compliance, under compliance settings, for company resource access, we shipped R2 with certificate, VPN, and Wi-Fi support. Email profiles were added with the extension in January. So this is where we have the ability to configure an email profile. It comes down as a managed profile to the device, which then is removed on a selective wipe. So you've got that corporate data protection around the email there. Then some of the other settings we see just as configuration items. We streamline them into the wizard that's already there. So if I go and create a new configuration item, call it TechEd Found, and mobile, we can see we've got the list of policy settings here. If I go and select something like system security and data protection, we can see some of the new iOS 7 settings that we brought in here. So things like controlling the lock screen, whether the notification center can come up above it, whether fingerprinting is allowed. If I go onto the next screen, we can see we've got the policies around the open-in capability. We touched on that earlier in the keynote where Julia showed the managed open-in with the Office applications. We're going to be enhancing a lot of that as we head into the fall, but we have the basic policies in there today for controlling flow of data between managed and unmanaged apps. The other thing I wanted to show here, if I just go back up to here and hit the additional settings, is we have the full list of policy settings available if you want to drill in deeper. But for instance, I can show something like the allow browser policy here. You can see Windows Phone 8.1 now supports that. The extension for Windows Phone 8.1 just brought that straight into the existing policy set we have there. So we can now address that on the device. So that kind of gives you a flavor of how we've enhanced Configuration Manager and how we're bringing new functionality to the fore with our extensions for Windows Intune. And we'll continue to iterate and bring new great functionality through that extension capability as we can. Now I'll pass to you, Adam.
All right. Thank you. I'm just going to switch machines. Is my mic working again?
Yes.
All right. So you can see here the Azure Remote App is still deploying, so it's now provisioning, so it won't be too much longer. What I want to talk about is we talked in the keynote about controlling access to applications with Azure Active Directory. I wanted to show you how we can turn on some of the self-service and turn on some of those controls. So I'm going to start by going to the Configure tab of Azure Active Directory. And there's a few things that I want to point out here. The first is that you can apply customized branding to what your users see. So you can put your company name and logos and things like that in there. So when you're setting up, you can give your users a familiar interface where they can see your company logo and see your company name so they know they're in the right location. You'll also note there, Martin talked about changing passwords and resetting passwords. So to turn that on, all I have to do is change this none button across to all. I then get some options around password reset. What methods do we want to use to talk to users and contact users in order to perform that self-service password reset? We don't want anyone to be able to do that, so things like calling office phones, mobile phones, requiring an alternate email address, and you can choose how many hoops they have to jump through in order to do that password reset. It is a self-service password reset, so they will get that password reset on their own, but you want to have the right level of granularity and control around how they can do that. The other thing that I want to show you is the ability that we have, if I can zoom in down the bottom, to do group management. So we've had the ability to do self-service group management with Identity Manager for many years now, but we're now doing it in the cloud. And this allows you to synchronize your groups up to Azure Active Directory, provide these self-service capabilities in the cloud, and have them not only live in the cloud, but also synchronize back down to your local Active Directory. So we're going to turn that on as well. And the option that then comes up, is whether you want users to be able to create their own groups. You can allow users to go and browse groups and choose to join groups, or you can actually say they can create their own groups and then be able to choose who goes into that group or not. And I'll show you what that looks like just in a minute. So we're going to save that. That is now going to update our directory. And that is done. I'm going to drop out of here and bring up my local browser here. So Martin showed you what this looked like on iOS. This is the browser version that we see here. And you'll note up the top that there's applications and profile. I've now turned on group management and the ability to do self-service password reset. So you'll note I've got two new options here. The first one is groups. If I launch that, I'm going to see an error. That's awesome. I'm going to see all of the groups. I just went to it too fast. We can see all of the groups here that are available. And you'll note that I've also got not only the ability to say I'd like to be part of a group, but I can also create my own group. And when I create a group, I can choose down the bottom whether I want to be the owner, whether anyone can just join this group, or only people that I add in are able to do that. So I can say that I want owner approval and create that group. This will now be published in the directory, and I can use it to control access, say, to a SaaS application, and then users can apply to that group, and I'll get a notification saying, hey, Bob wants to join your group, which would give him access to your application. Do you want to allow that? That allows me, as the business application owner, who is probably paying for that application, to be able to control how many people get access. So that's just a quick look at some of the capabilities in Azure Active Directory. There's loads of sessions during the week on Azure Active Directory, Azure RMS, as well as all of the capabilities we've showed today. So I'm going to hand back to Andrew, who's going to wrap up and finish up the session.
Thanks, Adam. Okay, so hopefully we've given you a taste now for all of the solutions that make up our enterprise mobility and people-centric IT delivery across mobile device, mobile app management, desktop virtualization, hybrid identity, and access and information protection. But I know that a number of you in the room and online actually live in the products day in, day out, so I did want to ground this before we left in where we are from a product delivery and direction point of view. So as I noted earlier, we really began this journey with System Center 2012, with our Configuration Manager release in April of that year, and Windows Server 2012 in the September. Last year, we were here at TechEd North America, actually in New Orleans, and we were at the preview stage for the R2 release, which we shipped last October. These products really remain the core base of our on-premises solutions. But as you've seen today, we are increasingly helping you connect these to capabilities that we have running in the cloud, specifically Azure. With Windows Intune, we've been on a rapid cadence of releases that have been enabled by the cloud deployment mode for cloud-based mobile device management. So we had a significant release last October aligned with Server R2 and Config Manager R2. This is where we brought all of the iOS capabilities, the company portals for iOS, Android, et cetera. We followed up with a release in January, another one in April, and as you saw today with Brad and with Julia White's demo, we're headed to another major release this fall where we will be bringing more mobile application management in Intune, specifically around application wrappers for line of business apps that you may be writing in iOS and Android. And then most importantly, in partnership with the Office 365 team, we are bringing managed Office mobile apps. As we go beyond just mobile device management and mobile app management, though, we're adding now in Azure Active Directory Premium. You saw Adam just demo some of the capabilities there around user management, group management, self-service password reset, security reporting, et cetera. That was made generally available in April. And then Azure Rights Management, which has been in use for a while now with Office 365. And we are bringing these together now into something that we call the Microsoft Enterprise Mobility Suite. The Enterprise Mobility Suite brings these three cloud capabilities together in one place across identity management, mobile device management, and information protection. We're making it available as part of our enterprise volume licensing programs, and you will see more from us over time as we bring more innovation into this particular suite. I know that some of you in the audience may not be involved in purchasing things like this, but I did at least want to show you what's included and how we're thinking about bringing these capabilities together. This is the most comprehensive solution today. It's not just covering mobile device and mobile app management, as you can see. We've got huge investment here in identity and in information protection. So with that, I did want to flag some of the sessions that are upcoming that are going to be important on the PCIT track. This is really just the beginning and hopefully just a teaser. So we have sessions coming up around that integration between Configuration Manager and Intune that Martin Booth just gave you a sense for. If you have an existing Configuration Manager deployment today, that is a great session to go to because you'll see how we're thinking about giving you the option to do that hybrid deployment and connect Intune back into your existing infrastructure. We'll also have a deep dive session in this room into Azure Remote App if you want to spend a full hour getting into that. And then later today, we'll also have a deep dive into that connection between your on-premises Active Directory and the cloud. And so with that, I will point you to further resources available online. We have a bunch of short URLs set up here for you covering our people-centric IT conversation and solution, where you can go to get a Windows Intune trial, information on Configuration Manager, and then our solution pages for hybrid identity and access and information protection. I'll also encourage you to complete your evaluation for this session. We take your feedback very seriously and use it to adjust these sessions and the content that we have balanced with presenters and demos for Tech Ed over Tech Ed. So please go ahead, complete your evaluations for this foundation session. With that, I'd really like to thank you for spending the time with us over the last hour. I hope you enjoyed the session and that you're ready for the people-centric IT track. Please enjoy that and the rest of TechEd. Thank you.